Hello everyone, this is Mike Quinsey, Connecting the Light. I welcome the return of Lou Valentino, who is my guest today. He's an author and he's come back particularly with 2010 in mind. He's got a lot to talk about. Lou puts all his spiritual knowledge and understanding into novels, which is a very good way of conveying the message to us. So welcome to the show, Lou.
Yes, thank you for having me on the show again, Mike. Appreciate it.
I recall we had a very good interview before, and I think we were both keen for you to come back. What have you been doing since we last spoke? And I gather you've been a very busy person. what have you been up to?
Rebuilding my life in different ways. I'm teaching a little bit more astrology and courses, and I'm also teaching guitar, and I like teaching, and then I'm also performing out in nightclubs a little bit, so I do a little bit of singing and playing guitar out in little clubs to generate some income.
And so right,
yeah.
I mean, out of interest, what sort of singing are you into?
Well, I like ballads, love ballads, but I like folk rock also, which is mellow, like James Taylor and Gordon Lightfoot and that sort of style.
Right, yeah. So you're a man of many means, apparently. It's handy to have another skill, if you like, that you can turn to when you need a few more dollars in your pocket.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
So have you been giving many talks in the meantime? I mean, I've had you do occasionally.
I haven't done. Occasionally I'll do a radio show or I have my clients over the years that I have a big email list and I email them, different thoughts. But the book, the e-book, the download PDF file of Full Moon Messages from the Pleiadians, is starting to gain more interest, I think, because of the times that we're in, and people are really looking for solid answers. There, a lot of people feel very stuck in the energy that's going on right now. So, more and more, I think they're going to be looking for answers from other sources that are not necessarily earthbound.
Yes.
You know.
Right, so where does that leave you? Do I recall correctly that you have another e-book coming along?
No.
Or has that arrived?
No, basically Full Moon Messages from the Pleiadians is going to be I don't feel anything to write anything more. I really would like to just focus on that over the next few years as things unfold and help people understand that that we need leadership from outside of our planet, politically, religiously, in order to make the next quantum leap. In astrology, you have about a 26,000-year cycles, and we are about ending that 26,000-year cycle. Towards the end of 2012, is the Mayan calendar date. And also want to recommend a book called The Astrology of 2012 and Beyond by Cal Garrison. I think that gives a lot of detail about, at least astrologically, it's the timing of events. My e-book is very, it's easy to read because people can just, it's an, question-answer format where I'm having a dialogue with the Pleiadians. And asking them, not necessarily, that we're light beings and that we're spiritual and that our destiny is going to be better, but I really wanted it to be more about specifics. In other words, what would life be like in the new model of life that's coming that's different than it is now? Because now most people do not feel happy, with the model that we have now, even the ones that are the most optimistic about the way life is now, usually are good at playing the game, but they are not good at really looking at everybody's life, every country, in every corner of this planet, and how we all can participate in freedom and in the spirit of joy. So the book is very detailed about at least having a skeleton or some foundation or structure towards what that might look like beyond 2012, and you know what things are going to be happening even before 2012 in order to manifest a new way of living on the planet.
Right. What is your current view of what will actually happen to conclude this cycle in 2010?
Well, one of the major thing that's going to happen is a UFO intervention, and I'm talking about thousands of UFOs surrounding the whole planet, where every leader, every political leader, every religious leader, every scientist is going to be concerned about, you know, what's going on, and then politically, leaders are going to have to get involved in explaining to Earthlings on this planet that we are not alone, that there's you know, other things that have been happening, and kind of open up a dialogue. And I think that could happen as soon as 2010 might be a year, I feel, that President Barack Obama will come forward and release and open up the UFO files that have been suppressed by the government, especially in relationship to the Roswell incident. But I just feel that there needs to be more of an open dialogue in areas where we've hit it, you know, suppressed information and stuff. And then when that happens, that's the starting point. So I kind of like I'm starting to make a snowball, you know, and you you end up rolling the snowball, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So the very first door opening, I feel, is the President Barack Obama saying that he wanted to not he doesn't want this to be a secret anymore to America, and he wants Americans to be aware of you know, he doesn't want their right violated as to free public information, you know, that's there, but has been suppressed by the government.
Yes.
On, especially on the capturing of different extraterrestrials in relation to the Roswell incident. You know, the autopsies, we ought to be able to see what the scientists discovered when they did autopsies on, I think there was three beings, I'm not quite sure about the exact number that they found, and but I'm looking at more the spring of to be a definite thing, because the UFO community has had all these kinds of dates that have gone on. It was supposed to be another one. I think it was last weekend or whatever. There was supposed to be a UFO sighting that was going to, you know, alert people, and then there was this rumor that Barack Obama was going to come forward and represent different extraterrestrial races and introduce them to the world and all this kind of stuff, and it doesn't happen. So I'm more of a practical person. I mean, I've heard a lot of different dates and stories along the way, but I really feel that this sometime between the spring of 2011 and the end of 2012 to the beginning of 2013, that there is going to be a major UFO intervention from the Pleiadians, Arcturians, Assyrians, and other extraterrestrial races to form to bring leaders in politics, religion, and science to the table to have an open dialogue and a connection. At the beginning of this is going to be very intense, okay? Because militaries are going to be shooting rockets, you know, bombs at them and stuff, and they're going to keep missing them because they have higher technology. They can just disappear right on the spot. So they're not going to be, there'll be a few days of trying to hit targets and realizing that it's just a hopeless thing. And then that's what kind of opens up the door between them and Earth, and then trying to discuss a new model of living, and some of the even basic principles of life that could help us a lot, such as holistic health care. Right now, Barack Obama, in the last year of his presidency, has been working on, you know, trying to formulate a health care system that would be appropriate for people. But he doesn't even mention holistic health care. He doesn't mention things like yoga, tai chi, acupuncture, acupressure, massage therapy, you know, all these things that can actually de-stress the nervous system and help the neurophysiology of the brain reawaken so that we're using more of our full potential. He doesn't have an idea of that. And so, you know, people are looking at Barack Obama as being a leader, and he is the main leader, but is he really as liberal and forward-thinking as most people want to give him credit for? And same with Denis Kucinich. I mean, if they want world peace, if they want to, you know, end war and get to a point where people are more human and more heart-centered, then I think holistic health care is a way to make that adjustment, you know, in people's lives so that they finally have a center to work from instead of always projecting all their energy in an outward direction and looking for fulfillment through capitalism.
Yeah.
Or some other form of government, socialism or communism. We really need to come back to small family groups. As the Palladians' message is, we cannot go, if you have a group that's beyond 100 people, then it's susceptible to ego manipulations.
Yes. I will make a few comments on what you said there. The latest news about the UFO announcement, which apparently Bill Ryan made and happened to be correct in as much as it was intended to come out on the 27th of November. According to David Wilcock, it would seem that the last thing anybody wanted was for that date to be given. And there is a feeling that it may have caused some consternation and shock and horror, and it may have put it off for a short period of time. But I think one thing is absolutely definite. Obama wants to make that announcement, and he will make it as soon as possible. Now, what you've said about that and this period coming up, is that mainly the opinion of the Pleiadians or yourself or a good combination of the two?
Of Barack Obama actually opening up the UFO files?
No, I was thinking generally of your comments about what we need with holistic health and so forth. I mean, is a lot of that your own opinion, or is it a mixture of yours?
Well, I think it's a combination of you know, intuitive impressions from what other extraterrestrial races want to bring, especially the Palladians, because the Palladians are the most protective out of all the races of planet Earth. They right. have more of an investment here than the other races do. So, you know, it's partly coming from them because I am directly from that culture, the Palladian culture. So it's hard for me to separate. Like people say, well, you know, how do you know da 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 da, or how can you, you know, believe in this, you know, what you're saying? It's because I'm directly from that fourth or fifth level of the sixth dimension is where the Palladians are. So having come from that, it's almost like written in my DNA and RNA coding. It's like an intuitive impression, but it's also from that culture that their foresight into what they want technologically for this planet and what they would like the human race to do to alter the social hypnosis that's been going on, you know, in terms of the way we live life and the way, you know, we get up and go to work, and everybody's so stressed out that they can't even have time for children. They don't have time for family life. And the American culture is completely going down the tubes in that area of marriage and family life. It's just so, I mean, people don't even visit their grandparents anymore in convalescent homes, you know, and let them, you know, and the elders want to see the younger ones, but there's a big disconnection and divide in that. But getting back to the UFO thing, you know, Sheldon Neidel wrote a book. This was back in, I believe, the 80s, if I'm not mistaken, but it's called You're Becoming a Galactic Human.
Oh, yes.
All right. He authored it with another woman, I think her name is Asine, Virginia Asine. And they were talking about moving through a photon belt around 1996. You know, well, here we are in 2009, going into 2010. So a lot of the dates that people have been giving on, you know, meeting and having contact haven't been necessarily, you know, right on. And a lot of them have been spooked by, you know, different circumstances. The energy just falls apart. But my prediction is energy that actually is very intense at some point where I think within, you know, definitely within the next 7 years. But they're trying to do this around the spring of 2011. The late spring of 2011 into the beginning of 2013, as to having a major event where there are so many UFOs surrounding the planet that every country gets involved, and there's no way out. There's no, you know, we're going to cover this up, and therefore it's not going to be a passing phase anymore. I mean, this is going to be in everybody's face, you know, where it really is a reality. So that's what the Palladians are saying to me in the messages that I'm getting from them.
Right. Yes, it's you and I, many others, are believers in this, and welcome the visit and the landings of our space friends. It's difficult to understand, I guess, that some people actually fear this happening. Do you come across that very much?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. And as a matter of fact, I remember I was telling my brother, this is a perfect example of the average person out there who isn't interested. I mean, I've been meditating regularly for 31 years now, you know, and I've been involved, you know, certified yoga teacher and, you know, meditate with a lot of people. You know, been at this for a long time. I visit a Hindu temple in Massachusetts, you know, on a weekly basis or monthly basis, a Lakshmi temple. So I'm very involved in this, but my brother is not. So when I told him about the new model of real estate that the Palladians are talking about, where we're having rotating real estate every 7 to 14 years, you're living in a different home, a different area. You know, he's a typical Capricorn where he reacted out of fear and said, oh, yeah, well, if they come on my property, I'm going to shoot them with a gun. Okay?
Yeah.
And so that's the average reaction of fear, because people have gotten so stuck in ownership, whether it's ownership of property and real estate or ownership of identifying with the job that they have or identifying with the person that they married and the culture that they're in. The mind has identified itself so much through social hypnosis over the last 26,000 years that it is going to take something major to break the habits and the ways that we think about things. And so in my ebook, I do talk about specific ways in economically and through the healthcare system, you know, the new models of economics, healthcare, of making love and romance and relationships and all those things that people really are absolutely, humanity is dying to hear a good leader talk about something different for a change rather than the same old thing. And we're seeing this with Barack Obama. You know, we're seeing, you know, people who put him on a huge high pedestal. And I'm not saying that he's not a volunteer from a higher dimension. You know, his soul is definitely a volunteer, but you know, he's still in his first year holding back, and you're going to see him open up more and more and more, I think, as the next year comes in, especially because, you know, tonight he's going on to talk about more soldiers in Afghanistan, but I predict that by the summer, beginning of the summer of 2010, if things aren't moving accordingly, then the soldiers are all going to be pulled out of these areas because the Democratic Party will lose its position. The momentum that it had, it's going to lose it to the Republicans if he doesn't start focusing on the economy, number one, and also trying to, you know, bring our soldiers back home so that we can start to use them to help New Orleans and rebuild that and other areas where people are suffering. A lot of soup kitchens and this sort of thing, a Salvation Army, you know, could use soldiers to help more to support humanity here at home rather than abroad. And but the major changes on this planet cannot happen with most of the leadership that's on it now. We're getting some change, but it's not encouraging giving and love and service. It's still encouraging, I own this home, I was brought up in this family that had money in it in the first place or whatever, and it doesn't have anything to do with people being generous of heart. And love thy neighbor as you love thyself is completely gone in this world. We need to get back to the basics of humanness, you know.
Yeah, I think over, I guess, many centuries, the dark forces have deliberately caused people to think of themselves as separate beings and to have the aim in life to obtain as much wealth and goods as they can. And I think that's made people feel very insular, and as you have pointed out there by that example, they claim ownership to what they have. I guess even if it's excessive in the case of wealth, I mean, the richest people in the world have by far the greatest percentage of the wealth.
That's right, yeah. And the sad part about entrepreneurship and all these gurus that get into, you know, financially, you know, promising everybody so much freedom is that really, when you come down to it, there's just so few people that really can have a good time with the system that we're in. And they still work hard for being a part of that, you know, part of capitalism and making a lot of money. But, you know, it's got to get to the point where even spiritual leaders, even in the holistic healthcare community, aren't afraid to, you know, speak out, you know, in fear that their publisher might drop them because they're getting too personal about their own, you know, feelings about, I mean, I'm talking about people that have even written a lot of books, you know.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I love Deepak Chopra, and I think he's a great guy, but, you know, he never, ever mentions the fact that he has a holistic Ayurvedic center in California, but he seems to like to talk about his relationship with Michael Jackson a lot. That's poor spiritual leadership, and that's not helping humanity understand that we need to move in a different direction. I mean, at least offer people the idea that Ayurvedic medicine is a wonderful ancient holistic healthcare system, which involves a lot of therapies such as herbal therapies and massage therapy and all kinds of things.
Yes.
And when we can't get the best leaders in holistic healthcare to even talk, we've got a problem here.
Yes.
We've got a big problem.
I think the problem largely arises from the vested interests such as the drug companies, who do all they can to stem any advancement or publicity about these, shall we call them, natural forms of healing, and they are a very big power to contend with.
Well, they are, you know, and I think that I think that the consciousness on this planet is, people don't have the spiritual discernment and awareness that is necessary that you and I have, let's say, or a Deepak Chopra has, or a, you know, a Bernie Siegel, or, you know, all these different, leaders of enlightenment. Dr. Andrew Weil has just written a book that I think is the answer to many of what, the problems we're having in healthcare system. As a matter of fact, I think Dr. Andrew Weil is the most spiritually brave out of most of the holistic healthcare leaders, because he goes on Larry King Live and he talks to the fact that the system is corrupt and it's never going to solve itself unless we change the consciousness or the energy of the average person and how they relate to health, you know, you know, more holistic approaches. He talks more about that. But the average person is brainwashed that those who are highly educated already have all the answers. So why should we bother listening to anybody else? Now, Dr. Andrew Wilde, obviously, he's a graduate of Harvard University. So he's got those, you know, same with Deepak Chopra and all of them. I mean, they have the experience and the credibility. But you're right. I think there's definitely some kind of a suppression between the American Medical Association, the Food and Drug Administration. You know, we've heard this over and over again that, you know, the FTC only allows certain things to be said over the airwaves, like Robert Barefoot, who I really admire, who is he is a volunteer from the Sixth Dimension, Robert Barefoot, and he gives the best argument about the whole cancer thing. I mean, he's originally from Canada. And he emailed me recently and said, do you know that the Canadian Cancer Society has put out that even women taking small amounts of vitamin D, D3,
Yeah.
will reduce breast cancer by 65%.
Mm.
Now, why aren't we hearing that from the American Medical Association or the American Cancer Society? You know,
yes.
That women taking small amounts of vitamin D actually reduces breast cancer by 65%.
Mm.
So, yeah, you're right. I think there's a lot of suppression that goes on. And I think the next, you know, especially 2010, you're going to see this more leaders starting to come forward who may have held back a lot in the past and realizing that, you know, things just aren't going to change unless people start getting more educated on their own about what's valuable and what's not valuable. You know, we have 1,500 Americans dying of some form of cancer every day right now. The cancer rate went from 20% in the 1950s almost up to 40% now. So they're not winning the war on cancer. You know, there's no logic to the whole thing. Highly educated doctors are also handcuffed by the American Medical Association because if they start practicing things that are curing cancer, they get their license taken away from them.
Yes. It's and even so sad, isn't it, to the point that if someone has a proven cancer cure, even although it may not cure everyone, but it does work for
right.
some people, I gather they are not actually allowed to state that publicly.
No, I know. I mean, my ex-wife, we were only divorced for 11 months, and then she died of metastasized breast cancer on March 17th of 2009. I spent the last 11 days in the hospital with her, and, you know, it's unfortunate that the medical establishment just believes that there is nothing you can do that's natural that can cure cancer.
Hmm.
And so they end up trying to suppress or reject. You know, this is the pharmaceutical industry, you know, making, what, $800 billion a year on drugs. And, of course, they love the idea when people go into, you know, they lose their loved ones and they go into these deep depressions. And, of course, there's more drugs to offer for depression.
Yeah.
So drugs, and more drugs. Well, this is the Food and Drug Administration. This, right in their name, is that they administer drugs. The only difference is it's legalized. You know, it's not an illegal, you know, other drugs like cocaine and everything, but those are, you know, people that try to sell them, they get arrested. But because these highly educated people, everybody brainwashed that somehow that they're doing everybody a favor and that they're actually being legal about it because they're highly educated, you know, it's a big lie and it's a big farce. And unfortunately, you know, I mean, there are extreme situations when somebody gets into a car accident and they're all broken up and they're just so much pain, they probably need some drugs to numb them up so they can continue surviving. You know, they
yes.
wouldn't be able to even withstand that pain. But I think with cancer, you know, Dr. Otto Warburg won the Nobel Prize in 1931 for finding the cause of cancer. So if the cause of cancer, a Nobel Prize is to be given out to a German doctor, Dr. Otto Warburg, in 1931, well, then you can conclude that the American Medical Association and affiliation with the pharmaceutical industry has been lying about the cause of cancer and has been scaring the living daylights, especially out of women, about breast cancer, but all forms of cancer. And so getting back to the Pleiadians and the extraterrestrial connection is, I think, the only way out of this social hypnosis that's going on to break the back of what people are normally thinking. You know, we need some kind of a wake-up call. I mean, you can get somebody now, a teacher, who could raise the dead in front of everybody, and it still doesn't really, you know, people still don't get it. So I think there's got to be some kind of a massive intervention from other races who are 3,000 years far advanced than we are in technology and life, and how they live life, and that they don't have wars, that they bring up their children in wonderful environments, that their economic system is not based on money or gold or anything. It's based on giving. It's based on service to service. It's based on taking care of your neighbor, not necessarily that you have to be constantly at their throat all the time, but that you're there, you're available. You know, you don't have to have insurance in order to be a healthy person. You don't have to have dental insurance to have nice teeth. but that everybody is working and servicing in their own little family groups, so they're not, so the dentist isn't overwhelmed or the doctor's not overwhelmed with patients, and then therefore the care that is given within a small community group is much more, it's much more effective, much better, and much more higher quality, and then giving people more time to invest in their families and invest in personal projects that they want to do, using their creative energies and supporting that. That's the new life on the other side of the coin that we're going to be getting to within the next 7 years.
Right. Now, I think it was in your book, Looking into the Future, or an article, 1998 to 2054, that you mention that the last few years of the purification period are here and the dawning of a new time for humanity is here. Now, what do you think happens in the years of purification? What is the trigger for it?
Well, we've been seeing it. We've been seeing earthquakes, sometimes swallowing up thousands of people. We have flooding in the last, 5 years. We had, of course, this, and then the tsunami. We have earthquake activity. Fire is a big thing. Fire is used in Vedic ceremonies because fire, what happens when you light a fire, the flames don't go down. Like water, when you pour it, it goes down. Fire, when you light it, it goes up. It raises. It's purifying karma, on the planet. So we've had these fires, and especially in California, there's been so many fires and houses being lost and karma being burnt up. And then you have the flooding. We have different, the hurricane season was pretty calm this summer in 2009. But there are times when, different hurricanes and all kinds of things happen around the world that, mudslides and this, that. I think that's that's a part of the purification phase, along with war. War is a way to purify man's stress and consciousness. So, but I think it's a breakdown point now. I think over the next, couple of years, major decisions. One of the big problems is we have a lot more male energy on this planet. It's been a patriarchal planet for a long time, at least the last 10,000 years. So as long as we continue to vote in men all the time and we don't have at least a balance between the male and female polarities, it really, war will persist and be always a part of our lives. I think that the extraterrestrial connection is going to break the back of war. It's going to shift the attention to a more feminine and more gentle energy that we haven't been able to manifest. And it's slowly manifesting through people praying and people meditating and doing yoga and tai chi and all kinds of things to, certain music and rhythms and stuff. Sound therapies are helping to relax the auric field of the planet so that this major UFO thing can start to happen, because that's what they've been waiting for. They're waiting for a softer auric field in the earth so that they can enter without being, they want to be able to be accepted as much as they can.
Yes.
By humanity.
I think what their coming will do is to bring the promise of peace, but not only peace, but an absolute end to war and aggression. And at the moment, I bet if you took a referendum of the people on Earth, there would be an absolute majority that would side with any group or leaders that were speaking of arranging peace for the planet. And I think currently, I don't know about the Third World, I think Obama is the only one that is hinting at taking that type of approach rather than this aggressive style which we've been living with for, I guess, hundreds of years.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, and it's partly that whole reptilian part of the man's brain, that we inherited from the reptile, age. It's still a a bit aggressive and wants to control Mother Nature and doesn't allow things to flow as effortlessly as they could naturally and relaxed in a relaxed way. So right now the polarity between male and female is at an all-time, it's at an all-time high of not knowing how to integrate itself, even though it's about ready to do it. It's almost like at the doorstep of a great breakthrough. And we're going to see more of this happening, especially in 2010 and 11, where more women will become prominent in leadership positions and add a more softer energy, you know, somewhat. And then eventually holistic health care is the thing that, you know, really needs to be talked about more. I remember seeing Dennis Kucinich talking about, you know, he's a great guy, he's very honest, and, you know, he was talking about the conspiracies with the Bush administration and how it violated the Constitution and this sort of thing. But we need to start talking more about how do we create love in life, period, so we don't keep getting into these. You know, we're talking about people, whether they're leaders or whatever, who have consciousness that can't understand what some leaders like Dennis Kucinich want for other people. And so if their consciousness isn't evolving, then they're never going to understand what you're talking about. You're not going to reach your goals. So holistic healthcare becomes, I think, the centerpiece for people developing higher states of consciousness and getting the neurophysiology of the brain more active and using more of the full potential of the human nervous system. As long as we're not doing that, it's very difficult for us to ever have peace on earth and fulfill the promises of all religions. It's just not going to happen. So that should be the main priority with President Barack Obama, is talking about how we can get, you know, yoga studios should be filled, you know. Yoga teachers should be making just as much, if not more money, than a doctor who's graduated from Harvard, all right? And that's a problem with me, because we're struggling. We're trying to keep our lives together. We're trying to pay our bills. In the meantime, we have the answers to help people gain a stronger immune system and nervous system, and able to quiet the nervous system down so that peace can become a reality. And we're not valued for it because people don't know about it. Or else there's this whole problem with, you know, the fact that yoga was developed in India, so Americans feel like Hinduism might infiltrate into the consciousness of America and take over Christianity or Catholicism. You know, all these fears that everybody has and all these judgments is what's really holding up the world. It's holding up the new way of living, is judgments and labels and fear and, you know, we want to be better. We want to be on one side. You want to be on the other side. You know, this whole, you know, division, duality, instead of oneness and just flowing with energy. That's what's holding up a lot of things, especially in holistic healthcare. But the yoga studios and holistic healthcare places, they should be filled with people. There should be lines waiting to get into these places.
Yes.
And unfortunately, that it's still stuck. The energy is still stuck. And when we can't get people like Deepak Chopra or anybody else in the leaders to talk more about the mechanics of how to develop consciousness and how to release stress from the nervous system, we've got a problem. You know, I don't know why, you know, why leaders in the fields of holistic healthcare would sit back and, but they should be interviewed more and there should be more opportunities. Robert Barefoot, his dream is to be on Oprah Winfrey's show so that he can tell the American public that cancer is curable, that there's been a cure for cancer for a long time. There's plenty of autopsies that have been done on thousands of patients over the years showing that cancer can be cured, all types of cancer, not just breast cancer, but, you know, all types. And so I think, you know, I think what we should do in 2010 is, you know, because we have Jupiter transiting through Pisces starting the middle of January 2010, this is a year when spiritual things like holistic health care and answers that have been suppressed can actually start to be opened up. You know, so I would say to your audience, you know, pray and meditate for an opening up of all the things that have been suppressed and kept secret that could help our world and our children grow up in a better world. Mm. Let all these doors, visualize them opening up in all countries and all over the world. Visualize a connection with UFO communities, UFO races that are benefit, you know, will benefit us. And through this creative visualization, because we do have a full moon lunar eclipse in the sign of Cancer and New Year's Eve. And that is a 6-month run of energy. So creative visualization for the United States, especially since America was born under the sign of Cancer and the Statue of Liberty represents the mother, you know, of America, which is what the sign of Cancer is. We have a full moon lunar eclipse on New Year's Eve just before 2010 rings in. And all the spiritual groups use this opportunity to visualize a better world because it will make a great impact on the inner planes of consciousness, you know, higher dimensions also, that we want to get going with this. We, you know, almost a little bit demanding too, that, you know, we've had enough of suffering. We've had enough of suffering. We really like higher beings, ascended masters, the karmic board, the tribunal councils. We want to get moving on this. We do not want to sit back anymore and just wait for the next disaster to show up or some new leader that's going to save us. We really want things to move faster and see all the doors open up, getting people educated about how they can take care of themselves better.
Yes, I entirely agree with what you said, and that is a good suggestion coming up to the end of the year. Now, you have mentioned yoga there, and I know you have said that the very core of it is has been misinterpreted as being difficult, and you went on to mention astrovedic meditation. Would you like to say a little bit about what that is?
Yeah, I mean, I've changed the name to Sounds Easy Meditation so that I, so that, right. You know, it's not too, you know, I mean, astrovedic meditation, when I first started that, I thought that was 1995, I think. You know, it was a bit too much for people. What the heck is astrovedic meditation? So sounds easy meditation is the use of sound as a vehicle to meditate, rather than, So a specific mantra or sound is selected in order for someone to settle their mind down and experience quieter, levels of the thinking process so that eventually they become very peaceful with themselves and experience a state of rest that's deeper than the deep sleep cycle. I mean, that's the nutshell in the center of the bullseye of what the yogis from India were trying to bring to America and other countries that are very stressed out was, if you can lower your metabolism lower than your deepest cycle of sleep, for in other words, your oxygen consumption drops something like, I don't know, 9% within 5 hours of sleeping, your deepest cycle of sleep. But in 10 minutes of this type of meditation, your oxygen consumption is going to drop like 16%. So you're almost getting twice as deep a rest as you would in your sleep cycle. That's when you start getting to deep-rooted stresses in the nervous system that sleep isn't getting to, and then you can clear things out and have a more peaceful mind and a more of an observant mind to the world rather than getting so engaged in it that you'll do anything just to stimulate yourself in your senses.
Right.
So Sounds Easy Meditation is a wonderful way to, it's a vertical approach rather than the horizontal approaches. Which are all good. You know, creative visualization is very good, and there's a lot of different Buddhist techniques, and there's a lot of wonderful meditation techniques out there. But the one that I'm using is more affiliated with the Vedic tradition of India, and those sounds were planted, I believe, by the Pleiadians mostly. The Syrians, the Pleiadians, and the Arcturians had an interest in giving us sound therapies that would create more peace from within, and therefore you can create more peace in the world if people are more at peace with themselves.
Right. What are the sounds produced from?
The sounds are coming from the unmanifest great I am presence. In other words, there's a language or there's vibrations that are more in connection to nature. And some of the sounds come from animals, you know, and But a lot of them have been cognized over the years through, you know, different developed, enlightened individuals. I don't know if they're enlightened, but, you know, developed from people, individuals who've gone within, gone within, gone within, and then they tap into the Akashic Records, which is like a celestial library of information, and they pull up, this is what the ancient rishis did in India. They pulled up the knowledge from the second epic of Atlantis, which was called the Holy Tradition. And Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, the founder of the TM technique, he was the one who was talking about the Holy Tradition from the standpoint of India. But he wasn't talking about it from the standpoint of the rishis that cognized from, looked into the Akashic Records and pulled up this information that goes back 70,000 years ago, when the Holy Tradition was in the second epic of Atlantis, and it lasted about a 40,000-year period. That society, the Holy Tradition, probably had the most balance between science and religion, men and women, than any other culture that we had on planet Earth. So it is not as male-dominated as India wants it to be, okay? Because in India, you know, it's still a pretty male-dominated in terms of owning spiritual knowledge and giving spiritual knowledge, still in the caste system, the Brahmin caste system. But slowly but surely, women will come forward and get engaged more in all religious and spiritual stuff, and that will help soften the energy more, and it won't make it so male-oriented.
Right. Time is whizzing by, as it usually does. Something I wanted to ask you, as we are coming up to the end year, you normally do a yearly prediction column on your website. Are you already sort of working on that one, ready for next year?
I'm starting to work on it, and I should have it together by the middle of December to put up.
Right.
For some reason, I'm taking my time more with it this year. I don't know what it is. It's like almost like a resistance. Mother Nature wants me to wait. I usually do it by the middle of November. I don't put it up for the next year, but for some reason, Mother Nature wants me to wait. Now, I don't know if there's some, I was wondering because, tonight Barack Obama's going to go on TV and talk about, sending more troops to Afghanistan. So, kind of setting the format, especially with the full moon lunar eclipse on New Year's Eve, because Cancer is the opposite sign of Capricorn. And of course, and then it's got to be followed by new moon solar eclipse in Capricorn in the middle of January, and you have Mercury going retrograde as we go into this whole thing. So, it's a shakeup in the Capricorn model again as Pluto entered Capricorn, beginning of 2008. So we're going to see more and more of this dismantling of big government and big business.
Yes.
And they're talking about CEOs that are going to be more investigated. There's going to be, there'll be deadlines for war. I mean, we're not going to be able to continue to keep going with Afghanistan. And what happened to Iraq? tonight Barack Obama's going to talk about Afghanistan. Well, didn't we vote him in to take our soldiers out of Iraq? And what the hell happened to Iraq? Do we still have soldiers there? I love these leaders who take our attention off of what we originally voted them in for.
Yes.
They have a way of, now I don't know whether some of the soldiers from Iraq have been transferred over to Afghanistan or whether we still have the same amount in Iraq. But, we've had some problems with terrorism and bombs again over the last few months in Iraq and in Afghanistan and Pakistan.
Yes. I have to think that he was sincere in making those claims. He's probably found it a lot more difficult now he's in the driver's seat, as you might say. So
yeah.
We wait and see on that one, but that's
no different than any other political leader that we voted in this country. And so Americans deserve something that's different. They do not want their children to be sent off to war anymore. It's just not worth it for us. I mean, it's gotten to the point where if other people can't, our economy is so weak that we can't afford it anymore. And we're going to go under as a country economically if we don't pull back on spending money on, a lot of money on these different projects that are going on in different countries for war. But
Right. Again, as we are coming to the close of the program, I would just like to confirm that, as before, are you still doing your monthly astrological updates?
Yes, I am. As a matter of fact, yes, I just put December up on my website, and people can go to yogavisionaries.com. Yogavisionaries.com is, or even if they want to put my name in, Lou Valentino, and Google on it, they'll probably end up. Astrological Varieties is another name that they could connect with my website. But yeah, there's free monthly. If they're on my email list, they will get it every month. But there's usually 2 months that I don't put it up because I put the yearly updates of forecast. And on December, I won't be. January, I probably won't be putting it up. But I because I'm going to have to do the update in December on 2010. And it costs me more money to keep putting things up, so I've only got so much money, and somebody wants to sponsor me with my website or something.
Yeah, you're right. Now, do you still do the CD, Heart of Charity? Is that still available?
It is still available. I don't have that many copies left. I've got probably eight left. And it's just a matter of finances and what I've been through in my life personally the last 4 years. You know, I've been through selling my home, a divorce, and losing Patty to breast cancer 9 months ago. So I've been through a hell of a lot. And so I'm just trying to rebuild my life and maintain stability. And I am a volunteer waiting for our turn, as you, Mike, also, we are all involved in this to help others and get into a new way of living life, you know, the new life plan, so to speak. And we're just kind of waiting for humanity to wake up and for the UFO situation to present itself so that we can make a very big leap in science, religion, politics, and transform it and rearrange it. So that people are not all stressed out over working 40 to 60 hour work weeks and wondering if they're going to have, a good dental plan by the time they're 65 years old, you know.
I think the whole future absolutely revolves around this first contact, because our space friends, as I always call them, obviously have so much to offer us. And it's sad to think back, and I think the people on Earth will be shocked to hear that many presidents have been offered their cooperation to achieve peace on the world, subject to certain conditions, i.e. like no wars, but they've turned them down.
Yeah, I agree. And I astrologically, when I looked at Barack Obama's chart, he is the president who can open this up. He really does have a chart for that. So I think he is going to be the one to open up this whole thing.
I think so. I'm going to have to stop you there, Lou.
Yeah,
I'm in virtually the last minute, and I need to announce the fact that this is a recorded program that is going out after having been recorded on the 1st of December, because some of the things we're referring to will be known by then, so it'll make a little bit more sense if people realise how this has come about. So thank you very much, Lou, for coming on again. As per last time, I don't know
where time
goes. It's been a wonderful to talk to you. You've got some excellent knowledge there, and it's a privilege to have you.
I really appreciate your offer to be on your radio station. You're offering to the public an immense education on new way of living life and new ideas, and we all appreciate your participation in creating a world that's filled with love, you know, and light.
Thank you very much, Lou. I'll quickly say that my guest on the following week is still to be confirmed, so I can't make any announcement just at the moment, but people on my subscribers list will get an email telling them in good time. So thank you for being with me. I do hope you will be with me next week.